Well, if you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Again, I'll mention next week we're going to be talking about evangelism. We have a little problem. Yeah, just don't nobody move. Yeah. Everybody hold one leg up, please. Next week, we're going to be talking about evangelism. Today, we're going to continue in Mark chapter 7, verse 31 through 37. Let's pray together. God, this is your word. You put it in here for a reason. We want to know what that reason is, but we need your help. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to open our minds and our hearts to see things that we've seen before, but to see them differently. So I pray you will build up your church through your word. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So all over the world, people worship something. I don't know if you've realized that or not. If you travel the world enough, you'll see that all over the world, people worship something. It may not be in one of the world's religions, but people worship something, even if it's themselves or money. And all over the world, people turn to someone or something when things aren't going well. Particularly when things are not going well, people will bleed religion or bleed something. If your health is bad, if your child is ill, if you lose your job, if you're financially unable to pay your bills, bad weather's coming, marriage is a mess, we all turn somewhere when things are bad, and we should, right? But not always, we don't always do that when things are going good. When things are going well for us, it's really easy to forget about God or forget about our being devoted to some kind of religious practice. We don't go to the temple. We don't run to the God house. We don't go to church. We don't pray or sing when things are going well. As long as we've got money in our pockets. So if you probably know lots of people, or maybe it's you, who would just say, I don't need to go to church. I don't really need that because everything's fine in my life. God has our devotion. He has our attention when He's needed. And sometimes only when He's needed. Here's some questions for us this morning starting out. I want you to think about this, and then we'll kind of end there as well. But how much attention does God get from you when things are going well? Or maybe a more difficult question would be, what makes our faith, or at least our practice, okay, meaning the exercise of our faith, what makes that any different than a person going to a temple to burn incense? You know, you understand what I'm saying? Like there's some kind of need in their life, and so they go to the temple and burn incense. Well, what makes that any different than what we do? Sometimes, not much different. Or maybe we ask it this way. Do we approach Jesus like he's just a medicine man, a local witch doctor that we run to, we, well, we know from our study in the book of Mark that there are many crowds that follow Jesus. Many crowds follow Jesus, and some people followed him for very different reasons. We know those people were not all believers in Jesus, because there were a lot of them, and there weren't a lot of people who were followers of Jesus. Some people wanted to see cool things. Some people wanted to get free food. Some people wanted to get free health care. You do know that everybody that came and got healed did not believe in Jesus, because he healed a lot of people. So there were people who were coming to him to be healed physically, but they really didn't want to have anything to do with following Jesus. They didn't want him. They just wanted the benefits. And yet Jesus fed them anyway, and he healed them anyway, out of love and compassion. So today in our study in Mark, we come to a very odd passage, about as odd as the one last week. You remember where Jesus called a lady a dog? That was pretty strange for Jesus to call a lady a dog. You remember that? And then now, this week, we come to Mark chapter 7, verse 31 to 37. Let's read. I'm going to read it to you. He returned from the region of Tyre. Remember, that's Lebanon. That's in the country of Lebanon today. Jesus took his only, first and only mission trip outside of Israel. He went to Tyre and Sidon. So Jesus went from Tyre and then went around through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee. The whole time he's in a Gentile, a non-Jewish area. He went around to a region called the Decapolis. That's where the Gadarene demoniac, the man who was full of demons, living in the tombs was. This is not a Jewish area, predominantly pagan. And they brought to him, verse 32, they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears. And after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha. That is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. So these 10 cities, this Decapolis, deca means 10. Metropolis is where the polis comes from. Okay, so 10 cities. They brought to him a man who had some problems. Let's take a look at him. What are his problems? Number one, he's deaf. Can't hear a thing. He can't hear anything. Simple enough, right? He cannot hear. Yet it seems that he was not born deaf. It seems he wasn't born deaf, that he had become deaf at some point in his life. Because how do we know this? The scripture says in verse 32 that he has a speech impediment. It literally means in Greek that he could hardly speak. Well, when you're born deaf, you can't speak. You have no experience. You have no understanding of how to speak. But this guy could speak, but he had a speech impediment due to his deafness. So, pretty sure that at some point in his life, we have no idea why, that he had become deaf at some point. So he could speak, but not very well. And they begged Jesus to lay his hand on him. And we assume that they wanted to heal him, or at least, potentially, they wanted Jesus just to bless him. So just put his hand on him could mean bless, because later it says they were utterly astonished beyond measure that the man was healed. Well, they had asked Jesus to heal him, then why would they be so astonished? So maybe they just wanted him to be blessed. We really don't know. But either way, they bring this guy to Jesus. And we've seen Jesus heal many people in the book of Mark. Sometimes he touches people. Sometimes they touch his clothes. You remember the lady with the blood flow? If she can just touch the hem of his garment, she touches. And Jesus says, who touched me? And the disciples say, what do you mean? Everybody's touching you. Yet Jesus knows there's something different about that touch. Sometimes he speaks and people are healed. And then last week we saw the Syrophoenician's woman, the Syrophoenician woman in the city of Tyre. Her daughter has a demon cast out, but her daughter is not even there. Jesus just says, go home, the demon's left your daughter, and she goes home and finds it that way. So there's no words, there's no touching, there's no abracadabra, there's no hocus pocus. Jesus doesn't do any little, you know, movements, or doesn't put a healing balm on, or anything like that. So Jesus' response this time, I hope you see that it's quite strange. He takes the guy aside privately and does something very weird. He puts his fingers in the guy's ears. I don't know about you, but where I'm from, we don't like people putting their fingers in our ears. You know, if somebody comes up behind you, don't do this to me today, okay? I know you're thinking that. Don't put your finger. If you go up behind somebody and they put their fingers in your ears, you're usually like, stop it, you know? So picture this, okay? Jesus puts his fingers in the guy's ears, and then Jesus spits. I read this week that that's every teenage boy's favorite story about Jesus. Jesus spits, right? So Jesus spits. It's very interesting that he does that. And then he touches the guy's tongue. That's strange. And then Jesus sighs. I don't know if you grew up with your mother sighing a lot. You do something and she might... Usually not a good thing, right? And then Jesus says a word. He says a word, Ephatha. So what are we to think of these actions? What are we to think of Jesus' strange actions that he does? On one level, I hope you see that Jesus is simply communicating on a level that the man can understand. Jesus is speaking sign language. The guy cannot... He can't hear. So Jesus communicates him on his level by saying something to him. So what does he do? This is what Jesus does. He comes up to the guy and he goes. So Jesus is speaking sign language. Jesus puts his fingers in the guy's ears as if to say, I'm going to heal your ears. And he spits and touches the guy's tongue to say, also your mouth. And then he sighs and he looks up to heaven. It's really fascinating to think that Jesus just cares enough to communicate with the guy. Instead of just saying, be opened, he communicates with the guy in a way that he can understand. Jesus looks to heaven possibly to show the man who's looking at him to look up. That's where it's going to come from. Okay? It's God that's doing it. And his sigh may have been simply to show the man that he cared, or simply because Jesus really does care. And because of sin and because of the condition of mankind having to be deaf, which was not his original intent, that Jesus is truly brokenhearted over this man's condition. And then Jesus speaks. So on one level, Jesus is communicating with the man in a way that he can understand. But there is another level. In this part of the world, as well as in many parts of the world, there are faith healers and medicine men. I don't know if you have ever come across some of these guys living in different countries. I can think of two places in the world I've been before where I have come face to face with a shaman, also sometimes called a shaman or sometimes a witch doctor or a medicine man. Well, in this part of the world, in the ancient part of the world, there were many of these kinds of guys in the pagan world. And they would do such things as these to heal people. Some kind of ointment or some kind of tricks that they would do to try to heal people, even though they truly were not healing people. Spit or saliva itself was considered a healing agent. I had to do a lot of study to find this out this week. You don't just get that from just reading the text. But evidently in this part of the world, that spit or saliva was somehow the one who has the power inside of him is giving that saliva as a way to show that I have the power to heal you, to transmit healing. And then the medicine man or the witch doctor or the shaman in that part of the world would also use a magic word like abracadabra or, I don't know, expialiocious or whatever, you know, you want to choose. The word abracadabra, if you've heard that word, actually comes from some kind of practice where people would use a magic word to try to do some kind of magical arts to heal someone. And that word that they would use was a secret word that no one knew except them. So that's the context that's going on. And so Jesus is not only communicating with the man in a way that he can understand, this is what I'm going to do for you, but he's also communicating at a cultural level at a way that they can understand. But there's something a little bit different that Jesus does that blows them away and makes them astonished. What is it? He says the word Ephatha. It wasn't a magic word. So Jesus communicates, number one, Jesus doesn't stick his fingers into his ears to heal his ears. And Jesus doesn't spit and touch his tongue to make his tongue well. The guy did not speak then. Jesus is just communicating with him. It's later when Jesus says the word Ephatha, which is not a magic word, that the man is healed. It's not a hocus pocus. It's just an ordinary word. It's Aramaic, which was the common ordinary language of the day. It would be like somebody speaking Cantonese in Hong Kong. Just a common ordinary word that the locals would understand. And Mark has to translate it because he's writing to Romans and they don't understand Aramaic. What does it mean? It means open. It means open up. One word from Jesus, simply one word, not a magic word, changes this man's life. The man's ears are healed. The man is able to speak plainly. Plainly, he's able to speak biaudrinde. He's able to speak perfectly. One word changes everything for the man. Can a witch doctor or a magic man or a medicine man do that? He can't. So Jesus blows them away because he's God. He is God in human flesh. He's not like God in human flesh, but he is God in human flesh. So the people, what I want you to see is that people came looking for a magic man. People came looking for a medicine man. There's evidence that what these people were seeking was that Jesus was just an ordinary healer, just a local witch doctor who has some kind of power, but that's not who he is. They came looking for magic, but he's the Messiah. They came looking for a witch doctor, but he's the great physician. They came looking for a healer, but he is the creator. How do we know this? How do we know that's what Mark is trying to communicate? Well, there are some hidden clues. There are some hidden clues in this passage. And in order to see it, we need to go to Isaiah 35:1-6. There it is. I knew you guys were looking at something. Isaiah 35:1-6, and I'll tell you why I'm quoting this verse in a second. Let's read. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak knees and make firm the feeble knees. I'm sorry, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And then the lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Now, you may say, okay, that's really interesting that you're using that passage. What does that have to do with anything? Because in Mark chapter 7, in he uses the word speech impediment. It's only used two times in Scripture. Old or New Testament, the phrase speech impediment there is only used two times in all of Scripture. One is in Mark chapter 7, and one is in Isaiah 35. So Isaiah, Mark, is pointing to this passage in Isaiah and saying, the tongue of the mute will sing for joy. That's the tongue of the one with the speech impediment will sing for joy. Behold, your God will come. So Mark wants us to make that connection, but there's another connection as well. In Mark 7:37, he said, the people said, he has done all things well. That's a strange statement. They said, he has done all things well. Or could be translated, everything he's done is good. What does that make you think of? Think of any passage of Scripture? And all that he did was good. Genesis 1:31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Most commentators think that is an echo when he says he has done all things well, that he is echoing Genesis 1:31. Behold, everything is good. The people came looking, and many people came looking for Jesus as just a medicine man, just a local healer. There were many of these kind of guys wandering around claiming to heal people. And by the way, there are many of them on your television set as well, and many of them on the internet claiming, if you'll just give us $50 a month, we'll send you a piece of our tie and you'll be healed of whatever is ailing you. But that's not who Jesus was. Mark wants us to see who is Jesus Christ. He's something totally different. He's not a witch doctor. He's not a shaman. He's not a medicine man. He is God. But that's what people wanted. They just wanted somebody to take care of their physical needs. Listen what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. Now, you know these verses, okay? It's really easy. John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1. But listen what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So He was God, but He was with God. And He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made, including ears and including tongues. Colossians 1:15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That means firstborn, the preeminent one over all creation. For by Him all things were created. By Jesus, all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. Through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Hebrews chapter 1, probably my favorite one. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. I think of VBS when I read this. And He upholds the universe, not the solar system. He upholds the universe by the word of His power. And making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's who Jesus Christ is. That's not who they came looking for. You see, they wanted Jesus for certain things, but they didn't really see who He really was. And this is common throughout the book of Mark. The Pharisees don't understand. The disciples don't understand. The large crowds don't understand. The Gentiles, the non-Jews, see him as something else. But Mark wants us to know who this is. This is who this is. I'm afraid it's very easy for us sometimes to treat Jesus like our own personal medicine man as well. Let's be honest. If we're all going to be honest, don't we at times just to us? Now, we know in our minds that Jesus is Lord. We know he's God in human flesh. But yet in our hearts, the way we approach him, or the regularity at which we approach him, is just the same way as people would approach a local medicine man to get what they need. We run to him when things get bad, but otherwise, stay out of my life. My educational pursuits are my own. I will make those decisions. My business decisions are my own decisions. I give God my religion, and I maybe run to him when I need some health improvements or something's not going right, but maybe he's not Lord over everything for us. Maybe he's just the God of the emergencies. Now, he is God of emergencies, but he shouldn't be God of just the emergencies. Does that make sense? He's the king. The king of the universe. We don't come to Jesus. Now, what's the phrase? Oh, I just totally forgot my Narnian quotes. He's not a tame lion, but he is good. But we don't come to Jesus on our own terms. We don't accept him for who we want him to be for us, like a local medicine man to take care of our needs. I mean, quite honestly, our prayer requests sometimes reflect what we think about Jesus. And our prayer requests are mostly about health. But when we come to Jesus, we are to die. When we come to Jesus, we are to surrender. He wants it all. He wants 100% of our life. We should not be holding back anything from him, because that's what it means for him to be Lord. I got a newspaper. Actually, took a lot of effort to get this newspaper this morning. Searched around everywhere. But, you know, to be honest, our life is a little bit like a newspaper. There's sections of a newspaper. You've got your lifestyles. You've got your sports. You've got your business page. You've got your funny papers. You've got these different sections. But I'm afraid sometimes what we want to do is we want to give Jesus the religion section. We don't necessarily want to give him everything. But he wants it all. He doesn't want the health page like a medicine man. He wants everything. He deserves that because he created you. Imagine what it would be like for yourself, before I'm close. Imagine what it would be like for yourself if you gave him 100%. What would your life look like if he had 100%? Imagine what it would be like if you and I esteemed him for who he really is. Or maybe the best way to ask is, what would it be like if you held nothing back? Imagine what it would be like for our church if we held nothing back. What would it be like if you and I started each day in His Word and in prayer? What would your week be like this week if every day this week you actually started, not a verse or two, I mean not like a daily bread, like read a couple of verses, all right, I did that, check that box off. That's called religion. I'm talking about spending some time beholding the glory of God in His Word and in prayer. What would it be like this week if we committed ourselves to the body of Christ? What would it be like this week if we actually engaged people with the gospel? So I'm asking you today to commit yourself afresh today to Jesus Christ. Not commit yourself to, I'll continue to run to Him in my emergencies. But to commit yourself today. By the way, we commit ourselves every day. I don't really believe in rededications, meaning people coming to the front of the church and saying, I rededicated my life. You better rededicate every day. So we should never applaud rededications because we all should be rededicating every day. Every single day of our lives. So today, I'm asking you to commit yourself afresh and anew to the Jesus of the Bible, maybe not exactly the Jesus that you've made Him to be. Not a medicine man, but to God. Let's pray together. God, we confess that many times we've made You in our image, and so our faith itself can become idolatry because we've shaped You to be into what we want You to be for us. And I pray, Lord, that You would call us as a body and call us as individuals to a radical commitment to Jesus Christ. I can't make that happen in my own life. I need Your grace and Your mercy. I can't make it happen in anyone else's life. It needs to be a work of Your Spirit in us, a work of revival, a work of recapturing, a work of rejuvenation, and for some, a work of regeneration. So, Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that doesn't know You, they may know about You. They may be know a lot about You, but don't know You. Would You draw them to Yourself by Your grace and by Your mercy? Thank You, Lord, that even when our motives are not pure, You love us anyway. Thank You that we do have a Savior and a refuge to run to in emergencies. You are our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. But help us not to use You, God. Not to only ask You to bail us out all the time, but to strive to know You and love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thank You that we have one mediator. We can pray in Jesus' name because we believe in Him, we're in Him, and so You hear our prayers, Father. Because of Christ's merit. Amen.